/studentstudy@gmail.com.
Okay, so we're doing, we're continuing the Rambam today. So we left off. The problem is that according to the Rambam, and the shomer gets the object. The shomer only gets the kefa, or basically the shevach habameilav, the prophets that come from outside. But the object itself and the shearings and the children all belong to the original owner, because he never really wanted any intent to give that over. Whereas Tosa says, no, is that the way in which the kefel could go to the shomer is because it's his object. Kefel goes to the owner. Since the baal, since the shomer owns the object, therefore he gets the kefel. So, and therefore it's not the Shel Olam, because he actually pre-bought the object retroactively. But according to the Rambam, so the object itself really belongs to the owner. And really all the Shomer bought was the Kefel, or the Shevach HaMelech. So the problem is, but why isn't that the very problem of the Shel Olam? So once according to the Rambam, if you say the Gemara is changing somehow, how do you still retain the answer? And why isn't it now that you're selling Dovash Adam Kefa, which is Dovash Adam? So the problem is, I guess, firstly, the problem is, what is the Rambam, how does one get around that? And once we explain the Rambam, then I guess we'll have to see what's the Machlokas between the Rambam and Tosus. Okay, so any ideas on the Rambam? So I'm going to elaborate what Matt's saying. Matt's saying good. So let's start with the Rambam. I think, you know, for the further, I think we go better. But so the idea is, he's saying the Rambam holds, and just to give it a little bit more background, is that everyone knows, or there's definitely a difference between the ownership of an object and it's peros. There's something called the kinyan aguf and the kinyan peros, which means the kinyan aguf is the kinyan of the ownership of the object itself. And peros is like, means the fruits, but it means it's the profits. You could own something for its profits. Okay? Yeah, okay, so you have the kinyan of the object itself, and then you have you could own an object for its profits. Like, there's a kinyan peros. So for instance, like, you have this, like, let's say I rent something. So I rent something, I don't own it, but I have it for its profits. I'm using it, and any money, I make money with the thing. I'm using it to make money. So it's mine as a profit earner, right? When I rent it, whatever profits it yields off, that's going to be to me. But I don't own it. I just have a kinyan in the peros. Or for instance, if our wife, or husband and wife get married, so the woman's fields go to the husband in a sense. The woman still owns them, but the husband gets to use them, and he gets the kinyan. He has a kinyan peros. He gets the fruits, the profits of the field. Okay, fine. So definitely you could split those off, and you could say, and that's kind of what the Gemara was saying at first, is that the ownership of the object belongs to the shomer, to the let's say according to Tosfos, the ownership of the object belongs to the shomer, but the peros, the profits, belong to the owner keeps for himself, always keeps for himself. At least the profits. At least the profits of the, or in a certain sense, the profits of the Gilsev of the Seha. That was what he stipulated, that he really wants the shearings and the animal. Like the shearings and the children. But basically, I'll proceed. Let's put those aside, but I'll proceed with the Rambam. Okay, so now this is a good question. So David says, well, why isn't Kenyan Peros Dovash Lalolam? But I think this is what Matt was getting at, is that an object is a profit producer. It's a peros. The field, for instance, part of the identity of a field is that it produces fruits. Okay, so you could own the field qua fruit producer. That you own that capacity. A kinyan peros means that you own that aspect of the field. So this is the field, the underlying object of the field, which one guy could own. And then you could have the peros, which is its capacity as a profit yielder. You know, and that is owned by someone else, and you have that all the time. That's a normal halachic thing. That's not the Rambam Sledge. That definitely exists in halacha. Yeah, that is baal olam, because that's a component of the object. So it is baal olam. It's a kinyan in the object for its fruits. So it's like a facet of the object is its capacity as a profit and a profit yielder, okay, or as a fruit producer, okay. Fine, that's not considered. See, lo bala olam is if I want to buy the fruits. The fruits don't exist. But the fruit-yielding capacity of the field is a capacity which exists currently. Okay? So Matt's saying, let's take that one step further. That's that everyone agrees with. But Matt's saying, maybe the Rambam says one step further. That within the idea of an object as a profit producer, within the idea of an object as a producer of profits, there are two sorts of profits. There are two sorts of profits. There are the profits, the internal profits, right? The internal profits of a shevach abami gufo, and then there's a shevach abami elav, the extrinsic windfall profits. They're two different capacities of an object. An object could produce profits intrinsically, or me gufo, or me elav. So he's saying is that the Gemara is setting up that within the kinyan peros of an object, within the ability of an object as a producer of profit, there's a split. There are two types of profit. And just like you could own an object as a peros producer, now the object could be split, and you could own the object as a peros abameilav producer, or you could own the object as a peros abamigufo producer. And what it's saying is that what the Baal HaBayis is makna to the Shomer, what he's transferring to the Shomer, is the capacity of the object to produce peros abameilav. That is a component of an object. So in the bialis of an object, it turns out there are three things. There's the bialis of the underlying object itself. Then there's the bialis of the thing as a producer of fruits, intrinsically, the internal fruits, the intrinsic profits, the shearings and the children. And then there's the capacity of an object as a producer of fruits may love. External fruits which are unexpected fruits, unexpected profits. And that's another capacity. So what I'm saying is, which of these three components is the Baal HaBayis really interested in being marketed to the Shomer? Only the one, he basically only wants to get into the Kefil. And that's what the Rambam's going to learn, is that originally the Gemara didn't have this distinction. Originally the Gemara said that he just owns the object. It says, oh yeah, so Rek Yosef owns the Kefil. So, right, if he, originally it didn't have that. It just said, you have the object, and Kefil goes to whoever owns the object. So it says, if you own the object, you should get even the shearings, you should get everything. It says, no, you have to realize the psychology of the thing. The guy really is not interested in really giving him the object. He doesn't want to give him the good self of the sale. He doesn't want to give him the object. He really is only interested in insuring himself, and he's going to give up the windfall profits in order to insure himself. And the windfall profits, there's a capacity. That's what Gemara's positing, according to Rambam. Gemara's positing is that you're missing, there's a further distinction within the Kenyan Peros of the profits, the internal profits, and the windfall profits. And it's saying is, what he said, now you don't have to say he's selling him the object anymore. Now, the more it's saying is, no, all he was really selling to him was the object as a windfall profit producer. As a Kenyan Shevach B'Me'elav, he was selling him that capacity of the object. And therefore, so that is above all. At the very onset, every object has the capacity to produce fruits. So he sold, that's what the Shomer sold him, retroactively, that's what he was selling him. So there's no problem. So that's what the Rambam will learn. So there's no reason to say the object itself will go to the Shomer. Well, who needs to give him the object itself? Right? That's the problem. So what's Tosa's problem? Well, why not say this? So on the surface, yeah?
No, it doesn't.
So the first step, I mean, I think we go further than this, but I think the first step is it would seem to be, it's a chiddush to say this idea that you're subdividing the kinyan peros, and that there's a separate kinyan on the windfall profits. Okay, there's sort of kinyan on that. I mean, that's a chiddush to say. I mean, that we know there's an idea of kinyan gufa and kinyan peros. But now to tell me that there's an idea of shevach abba, a kinyan of the profits, the windfall profits and the internal profits, that's a chiddush. To posit that there's actually an ownership of the object as a producer of windfall profits, that's a bit chiddush. In fact, if you think about it, it's not really that palatable. I think it needs an explanation, because when you say the whole idea of windfall profits is like, it's a windfall, it's not an expected kind of a thing, it just happens, you know, that's the nature of the thing. Things don't just get these types of these profits. This isn't an ordinary kind of situation. Like we said, like the guy decides, I want to give money to the owner of this animal. I mean, just a random, right? I mean, it's bamelev, it's nothing internal. But it just comes from without. So in general, That's not an ordinary feature of objects. Right? I mean, so to say, I understand to say there's an object, and then there's the object as a producer of profits. Okay, because that's objects have those capacities. But now to say that there's a component of the ownership of the object is its capacity as a producer of windfall profits. The whole idea of windfall profits is like an exceptional, outstanding kind of a thing. So to say that that's actually a capacity, Tosa says there's no way. That's not happening. There's no such thing like that. There's the ownership of the object, and there's Kenyan Peros. So therefore, what's happening here is that he's doing is he really wants to do is to give him the object. Right? He's really giving him the whole object. The only thing is that he doesn't want to give up the profits of the gifts of all the sale. So he's making up this funny stipulation that he says that. Basically, he's giving him the object, minusing out. He can't even say minus Kenyan Peros because he's getting the kefil. So it has to be like a contrived. Tosa's way is a little bit contrived. He says that it makes sense in terms of the psychology of the thing, as we explained yesterday, is that he only really wants to give him the kefil. He is not interested in giving the guy the gizah of the sale because why would he want the whole? That's what he wants to ensure. He wants to ensure its ability to make profit. He wants to give him kefil. The only way to give him kefil is to actually give him the object, the gufa davar. So you give him the gufa davar, but you exclude the gizah of the sale. And that's the natural psychology. So you have to. There's no way to do it, according to Tosis, other than like an artificial das. And the nature of that das has to be the only way you could get the guy the kefil is to make him the owner. There's no way you could split off the ownership of the shevach b'meilav. That's the Rambam's chiddush, that you could separate off the ownership of the bailus of the shevach b'meilav. The Tosis says there's no way to do that. The only way to get him the kefil is to give him the object itself. And if you give him the object itself, but you're excluding the kefil itself. But you can't exclude the object, because if you exclude the object, then you'll get the kefil. So it tells us to have like a forced, owns the object with the exclusion. It's like as if he said, chutz mi kefil itself. That's what the Gemara says. Besides four. It's like a besides four. The Gemara sounds like it's saying. The Rambam develops it though and says, when the Gemara asks, it first said that, but the Gemara says, well, how do you say that? And it's differentiated between these categories of Shevach B'Migufa, Shevach B'Me'elav. The Rambam interprets that, there's a new category. There's the object as the Shevach B'Me'elav. And that's what he sold to him. The question now, if you buy this, right, the question then is how the Rambam answers that. I mean, it sounds compelling what Tosa is saying, is that that's a component of an object, ownership of an object. If you ask any normal person, you say, what are the aspects of the object? You'll say the object itself, its ability to produce fruits, and then its ability to get random money from elsewhere. Because, it's a funny kind of that's not a natural idea in bailus of an object. So what's the Rambam sense in positing that that's like a component of the bailus of an object? One sense you'd argue is that the whole idea of windfall is lo bal olam. The idea of a windfall is that it's something which may emerge at some future point. To say that, like, that's a component of an object is that its ability to maybe have something come in the future is not, that's not a characteristic of an object, it would seem. It would seem that's exactly what it is. It's a windfall. It's something which happens to come about. Here's just a possibility. I'm not sure. Maybe you go further with it. But maybe like this, is that you don't say, if I buy a car, or in the world would never say that there's a, or a field. Let's say I buy a field, or a field. And the world would never say that there's the ownership of the field itself, then there's the field as a producer of profits, migufo, and then there's the field as a getting lucky of getting money from outside, as a shevach b'meilav. That's not a component of the ownership of a field, because the very nature of the thing that you'd be acquiring in that third class is the unexpected. And it's not like a component of the bailus of an object is, I own the unexpected profits of a thing. That's not a class. It's not sufficient, doesn't have sufficient frequency, or it's not, the whole nature of the thing is a haphazard kind of a thing, such that it's not going to cause that to be a category of ownership within a thing. It's not subdivided into that class. But the Rambam is going to say is that would be true if the Torah didn't posit the institution of kefil and dalvei. See, because when the Torah posited kefal nal v'hei, which means is that any object which is stolen lends itself automatically to these windfall profits, to double and to four or five times. So therefore, it becomes, it's taking the windfall, which by its nature is like a random, haphazard thing, and it's like institutionalizing a particular windfall profit. And it's making it like a, it's a parsha in the Torah. It's an institution in the Torah of kefal nal v'hei, and every object has the potential of kefal nal v'hei. So, whereas previously, the windfall in the world, the windfall profits is like, oh yeah, if a guy decides to give a random gift to someone who owns this field, that just doesn't happen. It's not, that by its very nature is not fixed. It's not, it's a haphazard thing. Something which may happen, but here, it takes the thing which is haphazard and it's given kvias. It's given like a real place in the, in bialis because halacha has an institution of kefal nal v'hei. So that's the machlokas does the fact that the Torah like recognizes and creates an institution of kefal nal v'hei and takes something which is by its nature haphazard and gives it a halachic, concrete halachic reality, and gives it like a parsha in the Torah, does that now render the windfall profits into something which is fixed? And now ownership lends itself to, the peros have, the peros from Igufo, and then the peros Melo. Peros from the world. From the world, how is that a category? Oh, because there's an institution, Kefal Nal V'hei. Or do you say that it's true that the Torah does that, but still by their underlying nature, windfall profits, still windfall profits, and its nature, it's like a thing which could happen haphazardly, could happen in an accidental type of a manner. So the question, does it become a category, and is it given like a chashivas, a significance, beyond which it naturally deserves, because the Torah creates is like, takes windfall profits and creates two like permanent forms of them. Because that's the reason why you'd say one prophets are in category, because they're so haphazard by their nature. It's like they're not components. Who thinks about these things? They're like, who knows where they're just going to come from, random places. They're haphazard. It's not a component of ownership, is this haphazard random things. But it's not random anymore because the Torah formalizes it as an institution. So whereas previously any other haphazard thing is someone's grandmother, I mean, come up with any random case, but this is an institution. Geneva, every object comes under the halachos of Geneva, if it's stealing, and if it's stolen, it comes under the halachos of kefal nal v'hei. So now, although it's through a happening, it's a be'elav, and it's not an intrinsic property, it's not intrinsically a property of the thing. But as an object, and so far as it fits into the halachic system, it becomes like a property of a thing. I mean, because it lends itself now to kefal nal v'hei. So do you say that renders the unit called, not just of the kefal, now if they universalize the ideal, then that gives a chashivas, a significance to the Shevach HaMeila. And now the Ram says is that you could purchase the Shevach HaMeila of an object. So therefore the Ram is going to say that what was the owner transferring to the Shomer? That characteristic of an object as a producer of windfall profits. Is that a component? Yeah, it's the component in which kefal nal v'hei find themselves, which the halachic institution kefal nal v'hei find themselves. Tosa says that it's very nice, but bottom line is, even though kefal nal v'hei are parshas in the Torah and all that, bottom line is they're still happening, their underlying nature is a happenstance. That if the thing happens to get stolen, then it will happen to throw forth kefal nal v'hei. He says, but that by its nature, there's still bottom line, it's still windfall profits, and ownership of an object doesn't have, has ownership of the object, and has peros. And it's not a record, the fact Torah has a parsha d'alvei isn't enough to cause a further subdivision within kinyan peros. So therefore an object has the object, and then the kinyan peros. So how could you ever get the guy the kefal? The only way to get the guy the kefal is to give him the object itself. And then you're going to have to exclude the kinyan peros of the sale. He doesn't go for this split of the Rama. It's true, and that's why it would be a nafkamina. Nafkamina is a difference. The practical difference between the Ram and Tosfos would be, could you walk up to a guy and say, I'm buying your Shevach HaMeila of your object? According to the Rambam, yeah, you could. According to Tosfos, there's no such thing like that. No such thing like that. Shevach HaMeila, I think Gemara says Shevach HaMeila. According to Tosfos, that's just a description. It's not a component of an object. It's just explaining why the guy is excluding the Gidosevla Doseha and not excluding the Kefal. That's the sense. There's another psychology. There's definitely a psychology, psychological difference in Shalva Me'ela, which is the windfall, and the internal profits. But that's, according to us, that's just explaining the psychology. According to the Rambam, it's actually setting up categories of bialess of an object. So you're just mentioning a point. I shouldn't talk about a field as this example here, because he's not talking about fields, because fields can't be stolen, and this whole parsha, we're not talking about that. We're talking about an animal or kalem. So kalem, part of kalem, or animals, metaltalim, basically, movable objects, are their capacity to produce kefal malvei. But fields, it wouldn't be that way, so therefore you could argue that by a field, it wouldn't have shevach b'me'elav, according to this far. And you could say, is once it's a component of ownerships, then it becomes a component of all objects. But I don't think you go, I mean, halacha is clear, there are lines between metaltalim and karka. They're different things, they have different parameters, and have kinyan, and all kinds of things. So, I think it's true. There's no reason to posit there's a capacity of a field as a shevach b'me'elav producer. Just these objects, just objects of metaltalim, because the parsha of kefon alveh. But that would be so an example. I keep talking about a field. It's not really. We shouldn't be talking about fields here. We should be talking about objects, you know, animals or whatever. So I mean, it could be that you differentiate. But I think it could be you'd say field could come for the ride. But I wouldn't think so. But I mean, I guess you know if you find the halacha on the contrary that shows Rambam says you can buy the kesheva b'me'elav and field, I guess it would help out. But I'm sure you're not going to find that case. You know, it's not an ordinary kind of a thing people do this. It only comes up in this random case because of the fact that you want to reward the shomer with the kefal malvei and not with the underlying object. I mean, you're never going to come to this other than here. Here it actually makes sense in the psychology and, you know, in the situation at hand. Yeah. It's interesting. You'd never come to this question without the unique random situation of the shomer. And it becomes normal. It becomes just a natural, normal question to talk about it, but it's like you would never question whether you'd break bialess up into these components other through these funny cases. That's what's interesting. I mentioned this one time before, but it's always good to point out. Is like people oftentimes pick a Gemara, say, well, who cares about these crazy cases, you know? Sometimes the Gemaras have funny cases that, you know, what's the halacha if a guy trips with his left foot? I don't know, just like funny cases, you know? People like make fun of halacha for that. But I said the idea, the value is not necessarily in the case itself, but it is also in the case itself, but it's like the sometimes funny cases bring out underlying conceptual questions, you know, and the conceptual question is what the Gemara is interested in. So sometimes in order to arrive at that conceptual question, you have to create a funny case, which is, and I said the same thing as I pointed this out, and in science also. You do a crazy experiment. You take a rod and you rub it with rabbit's hair, and then you touch it to a balloon, and you do crazy things. What are you doing, physicist, scientist? What's going on? But no, if you understood, we have a hypothesis about the way electricity works, and the only way to and the only way to test this thing is to create a crucial critical experiment. But no one would ever do this experiment in their right mind if they were just if you look at it, it's crazy if you do that. But this experiment is packed. Crucial experiments, critical experiments, and critical experiments. It's created or perfectly constructed in order to help be machria, in order to differentiate whether this is a good theory or not a good theory. So similarly, Gemaras ask funny cases. Oftentimes, it's not because of the case itself; it's the case helps a well-constructed question, well-constructed case, ends up yielding fruits in terms of underlying conceptual structure. So here it's like, here it is a real case, so it does have practical value also, but it's like through the sugya of the Baal, you know, the sugya of the Shomer, and you know, all these things, you end up coming, you know, figuring out the different components of violence of an object. You know, so it's, you know, this is more than meets the eye than just the cases that you find. You know, and the cases help bring out the concepts. Yeah, the underlying principles, exactly. The cases help you arrive at the underlying principles. Exactly. So what I'd like to do next time is, so this is all within the, Rava's answer. Okay, Rava's answer, or maybe I should say, this whole thing, I mean, this whole deal is basically what we've said now is that you're having, the way you gotta get to the kefal. Why does the original Baal get the kefil? Because you have this retroactive das that the kinyan is going to go, retroactive das that the kinyan goes all the way back At day one, right? All the way back at day one. Ah, so why don't you say he owns the Gius of the Sao, the shearings? Oh, he says, if he stipulated Chutzmi Gius of the Sao. So the Gemara has an Ikud Amri, which gets out of that problem. You don't have to say Chutz. Which is that basically you stipulated that at the moment before, if so-and-so happens, then at the moment before it's stolen, it becomes mine. Okay, notice there's like these implicit terms when I give you the object, that if you have the object and it gets stolen, then at the second before it gets stolen, I'm selling it to you. Okay, the second before it gets stolen, I'm selling it to you. And therefore, at the moment it gets stolen, it belongs to the shomer, and therefore he's going to get the kefel. But the gizel of the se'a, which came about before it got stolen, will go to the original owner. All right, so this is what you get out of that problem. And you don't have to posit this exclusion, you know? The problem is that how do you just purchase the thing the moment before the sale? Don't you need a kinyan? Like, you can't just say I'm kona the thing at that moment. Well, you need a maisa kinyan. You need an action that's going to cause the, well, via what mechanism is the thing going to be transferred at the second before the thing? If the kinyan was way back when, then the kinyan was way back when I gave it to you. But there was no actual kinyan. You can't just say it will transfer because you can't declare it to transfer at this moment. You need a maisa kinyan. The kinyan brings about a transfer. So the answer is that the kinyan takes place through the chatzer. It's called the kinyan chatzer. Since it's in his field, so his field could be kona things for him. Okay, so since the animal is in his field at that moment, so then at that moment the field will, the transfer will take place. Let's say at that moment it happens to not be in his field. Right? It happens to be grazing in the agam in some marsh somewhere, then it wouldn't work. And then it would turn out that the kefa would escape. It would, So, he'll read the Gemara, but that's a problem with, that's a limitation of that answer. That answer solves the problem because you don't have to stipulate this exclusion, but at the same time, it has a limitation that it only works sometimes. It'll only work if the animal happens to be in his field at that moment. So, I'm just telling you very briefly. You have to look at the Gemara, and you can look, But the question we're going to take up tomorrow is, what's the machlokas between these two answers? Okay, what's the machlokas? Which way? It turns out which way, there's a nafkamina. Let's say it wasn't in his field. So which way do we impute as the stam das of the parties? Is it that they have this retroactive kinyan all the way back when, and then you have to stipulate chutz migizasev lo dasea, but it will work across the board, wherever the animal is, who really cares? Or do you say that they're stipulating this idea that it will be kona a second before the ganeva, which will avoid the problem migizasev lo dasea, because the migizasev lo dasea is before a second before, but at the same time you're limiting yourself by it only working if the thing happens to be in the guy's field. So the question is, what's the question? And you'll see. We've been learning the first way. Yeah, exactly. We've been learning the first way. I'm just telling you briefly the facts. But you can look at it, but that's going to be the new question. It's fair. What's the underlying hakira? Which way do you go? And it may be different according to the Rambam and Tosfos. We may have to consider that. Just keep that in mind. I have to play it out. So I guess we should show you that tomorrow. Thursday I have final. Thursday I'm not going to be here. Okay, so...
Tomorrow I cannot be here, so...
Oh, sorry. Okay, let's see what we can do. Okay, so my plan is, the plan is Wednesday. We'll do this. I'm hoping we finish this Wednesday. And then maybe we'll start next... The yeshiva's over this week? Is that the deal? Officially?
Yeah.